Well, I'm finally here. God is truly good in my life. And I see as well in yours. Just to get the jitters off, is it possible that I may have a glass of water? That's a black church thing. When I see Jesus, amen. When I see Jesus, amen. All of my struggles and my trials, they will be over when I see Jesus. When I see Jesus, amen. When I see Jesus, amen. The man that died for me, one day he set me free. Amen. All of my struggles, every single one of my disappointments, headaches, belly aches, they will be Jesus, amen. With that, I greet you in the name of Jesus the Christ. And all that is within me, I shall praise his holy name. But God has truly been good to me, and I see to you as well. I'm thanking God for your founder, Mr. Ralph and Dr. Ralph Blair, who chased me for about 3 weeks. And he kept calling me, and I was like, who is this man? I don't ask these, not a bill collector. Because he keeps calling, and he's kind. I said, I think I better return his call. And I'm so glad that I did, because at first I was Dr. Ralph Blair. I was a little intimidated. I said, why? And we talked, and I was, why would he want me, who hated school, to come? And I found that just over the telephone, a gentle-spirited man who I felt very comfortable talking to, and having laid eyes upon him, I must apologize because I didn't know who he was. But I sense in him, in your founder, that at this 25-year mark, he's silently questioning, where do we go from here? And I'll talk more about that later. And I must say to you that the scripture that God has given me today is in the 6th chapter of Matthew, in the 33rd verse, which says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I've been trying to write for a year And there's many things that I am just full up to here. And I must say to you that I come to you today basically spiritually empty, but yet not in despair. I must say to you today that since I've been here, I'm thanking God for you, because this is a retreat for me. And quite frankly, I wish I could just sit in the audience and be filled up, and I'm going to get a chance to do that. And I thank God if I sound a little all over the place, it's because I am.
That's all right.
I've been through so many things, and I realize that it's not a dressed up speech that we need. And looking at God's grace abounding, we already know that. We already know, as an oppressed community, that God's grace is abundant. What we don't really get is the reason for real why we have connection. And I'm going to get to that. But before I get to that, you really need to take a good look at me. And you need to know who I am and where I've come from. Now, I'm not going to give you my coming out from the first grade. Because I heard somebody say, oh God, here goes a testimony. But I must say to you, for you to understand this connection, you've really got to know who I am. And I tell you, I've been liking girls since the first grade. Expect she was a white girl sitting on the swings named Stephanie. I'll never forget. And I remember that moment. I felt that was the way things were supposed to be. That is exactly normal. That's normal. Until somebody, I must say, can I be real up in here?
Yeah.
Until somewhere around the sixth grade, somebody called me a bull dagger. I didn't know what that was. You know, I didn't know what that was, but I knew it wasn't good. And I said, well, is that what I am? Because I know this thing that I feel, I thought it was just normal that everybody likes girls. But I can't. Now deceased up under me, let me know that. But I began to say, well, I can deal with that, you know, that word. And then it was around the seventh grade. Now this is what really tripped me out. In gym class, somebody called me a faggot. It's funny now. But it wasn't then, because I could deal with the fact that I was a girl who liked girls. But in my young mind at that age, faggots were boys who were trying to be girls. And I was like, well, I'm already a girl. So I said, so I'm a girl who wants to be a boy who wants to be a girl. And it was at that moment I truly lost who I was. Mm. I didn't know who or what I was. And to skip across many years, I lost the face. And I went into a drinking, drugging mess. And married, and, you know, but it was all for God's good. Mm. All of it. Because how can you talk to someone about the goodness of God in bringing you out if you've never been through. And so to skip across many years and coming out and having children, and I've got to point out that I came out to my children when they were 11 and 7.
Wow.
And I had to come out to my 11-year-old because where she went to school was a gay bar right across the street. And they at lunchtime would go past and laugh at the people then there. And I said to her one day, I said, well, what if you had a family member like that? And she said, oh, I don't have anybody like that. I said, oh boy. And I knew at that moment, I had to come out to my child. If I was going to honor all the things about love and God and treating people right, I had to be truthful with her. And I came out to her, and she immediately ran and got her little book that told about accepting all the people of the world and colors and everything, because she tried to grasp what I was saying. Well, the 7-year-old, when I came out to her, she said, okay, so can I finish watching TV? And that child is beginning Oakland University right now, last year. And she is one of the founding members of the First Gay Alliance. Heterosexual as I know it today, she is. But it goes to show that we must trust in the providence of God.
Yes.
And so one day in 1993 of November, the first day, I walked into Full True Fellowship of Christ Church, and I never left. Because I knew I had found what God meant for me to have. Now, I need to tell you a little bit about Full Truth. It's been in existence since 1989. And Full Truth came about as a response to... Anybody in here know anything about Detroit?
Yes.
Cars.
Okay, good.
Cars.
Well, specific African American community.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I call it the Bible Belt.
That's right.
Because in Detroit, on every corner, you have Mega Church, Storefront Church, Liquor Store. Mega Church, Storefront Church, Liquor Store. And so, the only thing that we didn't have at that time was churches that would honorably funeralize and memorialize our brothers who were dying of HIV and AIDS. And yet their parents were paying, see, Black folks, you know, and I'm not just... See, I need to be able to say Black, white, because you know, we need to deal with that, you know. We can't dismiss that. I'm Black, you know, and we can't dismiss it. And so we Black folks get in churches and they, you know, they stay there and they pay and they, you know, but yet we don't get delivered. A lot of times. And so our people were not being funeralized, mothers, children. And so Full Truth came into existence and responded to that need, as well as being able to worship God in the full truth of your life. And anybody that comes through Full Truth gets faced with that. You're gonna be come face to face with the full truth of your life. Now, whether you accept that or stay there or move on, it hits you right there.
Yeah.
That you will no longer remain the same once you come through those doors.
Amen.
And so, in doing that, we created this safe space for folks to worship. And our mantra was, God is love and love is for everybody. Amen. And we sat there for for four or five years, just preaching that God is love and love is for everybody. And we grew this church that everybody come inside the four walls and we preach God is love and love is for everybody. And then there became a point in time when I became the pastor, I said, you know, we've preached that enough. We know that God loves the gay child, the child, the bi child, the transgender. We know that God loves the, depending on what group you're in, GBLT or LBGT or NSOE or whatever. And I said, well, now we know that. We know that. Well, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about this love that we come inside these four walls and we support one another and we affirm each other and we, you know, stay inside these four walls? And I'm going to apologize right now if I'm a little loud, because I've just come off a 3-day revival in the front yard of our church, where we came outside and people were like, and I was shouting to the top of my lungs that we're gay and we're here to stay and we're in the middle of our neighborhood. And I realized that even though we were been this institution on this corner for 15 years, on the building, my members were looking around because we're right next door to the old Ship of Zion Church, which is Church of God in Christ. And they said, Pastor, you must be crazy. I said, yes, I am. Because it's time that they know that God is truly our God. And we must come out from these four walls. I said, so this is just a little bit of venturing out. And we put up the old tent and everything. And we had a good time.
Amen.
But I had to let the folks know that this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. So I say that to go back and say this, that full truth has come from being a church full of gays and lesbians, bisexuals and transgenders, to children and grandparents and mothers and fathers. Amen. And that's quite a feat in the African American city of Detroit. Amen. Community. But we've got to go beyond that. I said, now it's time for us to look at, not that we're just a group of good gay folk, but something was compelling me to move on. To look at how do we live now. I had to challenge my church on our behaviors. Well, that was not a pretty thing. Because once we got the message that God loved us just the way God made us, then it was, how do we live lives that are pleasing to God? Amen. I had to realize that once we got that God loves us just the way God made us, that most of my people were angry at discovering that we have been living a lie. It was the first chapter of Romans that really saved my life. Where I was reading one day and I read the part where women leaving the, you know what it says, natural use. You know what it says. And Spirit said to me, but that was really never natural to you. And it was at that moment that I became completely whole. was at that moment that I knew that I no longer had to just sit and try to convince myself that God really loves me, God really loves me, and repeat that over and over and over again. It was that moment that I knew that I had to get up and go and become and live everything that God had for me.
Yeah.
It was at that moment that I realized that I was no longer just a vagina. All these things were happening to me. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this. Just hold on. All these things were, see, because our community has gone through these stages. If you ever visit the city of Detroit, you know we are heterosexual gay folk. We're heterosexual gay folk. Mimicking the heterosexual community. And heterosexual brothers and sisters, that because I had to learn that to get rid of my anger, I had to look at where my the folks who had problems with me, why, and that they have been raised and taught things that I had to be compassionate about what they believed for 30 and 40 and 50 years.
All right.
And so I realized I had to get rid of my anger. And in getting rid of my anger, I had to realize that I'm more than just a lesbian. And now where am I? I'm at the point, I'm at the very space that I am nothing but a child of God. Too much. We like in here being oppressed, you know. We like being victims, and we like being, you know, in a sense, this thing where we can hide behind the walls and come in church every 2 hours and preach and sing and jump and fall out, and then we get up, we go home, and we don't talk about the freedom of Christ anymore. My church has gone through, in the last month, a transition. For those who want to stay on the other side of the Jordan, have left. And it's okay. Because I realize that I've got to take and step out into a world that is hostile, into a community that is marching in front of my house with banners. We will not accept your sexual immorality. And the only scripture that they have is the one that saved my life. And I'm watching them. I mean, it's getting that bad. Where my Christian brothers and sisters are marching in the street with one scripture, the one that saved my life. And so I said that it was time to get on the radio. And I started a broadcast called Getting the Word Out on mainstream Christian radio.
Oh.
And they ran it in the paper, and then I was scared to death. I would leave the radio show and peek around. But the one thing that I didn't do because it would have truly frightened me. I did not accept calling. Because I already know you know I'm an abomination.
Yeah.
It is time for you to listen to me. And I brought transgenders on, so everybody could know what a transgender is. And I brought our gay brothers on.
All right.
And I brought the lesbians on. And I brought whoever to talk about, to give us a face in the city of Detroit. I started an organization called Noah's Ark, where we go and whosoever will, we must minister to.
Yes. Yes.
We don't know who God wants us to touch. Because God has given me the message that we cannot sit here like God's chosen gay folk.
Come on.
Amen.
All
right.
We must go as children of God who just happen to be LGBT.
Amen. Come on.
In essence, we've transcended, not just me, but you as well. You've transcended homosexual, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. We're children of God who just happen to be. Because I realize that, again, I'm more than a piece of clothing. A butch look. And I realize that I'm more than just different. I am peculiar. Yes. You know, I am whatever God wants me to be, I can be at that moment. And we can minister to the homosexual, the heterosexual, the bisexual, the sexual. Folks, I say that to say, and I'm not going to be before you long, that the most important thing to me right now is my liberty in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And my marriage. Well, when I go into a mainstream church and I give honor to God and to my wife, I realize that I cannot stand in my pulpit on Sunday morning and preach to the gays is one thing and be something else when I'm called to go preach somewhere else. So I don't say my partner, my committed friend. I say my wife. And I get oohs and ahs, and I say that's okay because it's a couple of you in here who should have a wife.
Right.
We've got to go out in places that say we should not be. I don't encourage, if you've ever sat in a mainstream church in the city of Detroit, black church, you know it's the gay folks that make the choir.
Come on now.
A message of love. And include you and your spouse just where you are. Now that's a frightening thing, because right now it's really chic to be gay and closeted. Well, I can get an amen on that. Rock the boat. So they sit every Sunday and they listen and they give and they express in their gifts and they leave unfulfilled. And they come to my church to be married. And I say, where's your pastor? Well, he really understands. I've talked to him. No, you haven't. See, we in this room are a remnant. And it is time for us to connect in a real way. Today is your birthday.
All right.
ECWR, today is your birthday. Turn to your neighbor and say, happy birthday.
Hey.
Today is your birthday. You can no longer. I thought when I came here, I said, well, I'm gonna put a plea out and tell everybody what they need to do and what you need to give and what you need to be. I don't want anything because it's prayer time. You have got to reach out beyond this resort vacation spot. Because that's what I've been overhearing. I'm on vacation. Vacation from what? You're not on vacation. You're here to be challenged. You're here to be renewed and strengthened. You're here to redefine who you are. There's some folk missing in this room. And it's time for you to connect in a real way. And what I'm here for today, and it didn't hit me until early this morning, when I was still asking God, what do you want me to say? And he says, tell them that the subject, what's right in the middle of you is connection. Because if we do not connect to the communities that do not have what you have in this room, close the doors.
That's right.
There are people who still do not know that God is love and love is for everybody. We are at the most crucial time in America. Where George Bush, and I'm apologizing to the Republicans in the room, for he is not my friend. George Bush has finally invited the prominent black preachers to the White House, and they're glad about it. But what they don't know is that he's going to tighten a noose around their neck. In the city of Detroit, they're building mega churches based on faith-based monies. And they're going to come back and divide our community on, I don't have the right to be married. And the black church and the black community cannot afford that kind of a split. I'm not asking you for your finances and your dollars. What I'm asking you for is a prayer. Because if we do not reach out and connect hands with one another through prayer across this nation and in every chapter that you have, a generation is being lost. You're not on vacation. We're not on vacation. We're here for renewed vitality, to look beyond this organization and go outside of, as was told to us last night, our principles.
Thank you.
Now, I gave you a scripture, and in that chapter, I know it's talking about don't worry about what you will wear, what you will eat, what you will, what your money in your pocket and all of that kind of stuff. Don't worry about it. See, because to reach out, when we reach out, we think about, well, will my finances allow me to do this? Will my spouse allow me to do it? Will my lover get upset if I travel? Will my home suffer? Don't worry about it. And seek the kingdom of God in our lives.
All right.
I'm not talking about a place up in heaven. I'm talking about the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have within us. That is what will sustain us and help us to reach out into boundaries unknown. Yes.
Amen.
It's time for us to connect in a real way. And somehow I sense in your founder that that is the question that he secretly asks himself. What will this be when I'm gone? Will your original dream be realized? And I ask that of myself in my church every day. What will this be when I'm gone? And it has made me come out of the closet of comfortability and come out to glimpse and come past my uncomfortableness with other cultures and other races and say that we are made in God's image. And I think the trouble with the gospel in the very beginning is when God said he made us in his image, and then that scripture reads, so he made them male and female. That's the problem. That we've been made male and female. Instead of recognizing that we have a spiritual covering of God, that we are in his image, that all of us are one in the same.
Yes. All right.
And if we do not connect for the survival of humanity as a whole, then what does it really mean if the Constitution or anything else sanctions gay marriages? If we do not live according to the kingdom of God within us in our relationships, what is it? I know it's about benefits, that the laws will change and we will receive benefits, but what is a benefit if we are not in covenant relationship the way God would have us to be? So I will leave you with this thought. As God provided for the birds of the air, who neither toil nor sow, but yet are fed, and the lilies of the field that does not worry about raiment, but God glorifies them anyway, why are we worried about George Bush? First, I challenge you to wholeheartedly possess the liberty of Christ. And because of that and all that Christ is, we can be married and have everything that God says that we can have. But we must first do it the way God says do it.
And then we must become a praying community. If in no other year that we do it, it must be this year. Now what I want you to do, I want everybody to stand up on your feet, because I see you getting stupid. And this is the way I close my church in Full Truth, every Sunday. I want you to, across the aisle, hold somebody's hand. And those of you who are on the end with no hand to hold, I want you to stick your hand out. Like this. And I don't want you to worry who may come in and grab that hand.
Amen.
I don't want you to turn your head to see who's touching me. Who's grab? What do they want? We've got to be just that free and connected nationwide. If we are really about Connection 25, it's your birthday. It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
Amen.
It's your birthday.
Yeah.
It's a new day. Connection means something different from this point forward.
Thank you.
When you go home, I want you to keep that hand out. And I don't want you to worry about who will grab it. But just know that whatever it is that God has given you, it is sufficient to help somebody else.
Yeah.
Trust not to store up. And whatever you have stored up, put it to the service of God. And don't worry about it. Because as we connect, we are connecting for every gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender child of God and those beyond to have what we have at this moment. Go with me to God in prayer. I want every eye closed. I want every eye closed. And I don't want you to focus on the hand that you hold. Other than the fact that I want you to send an energy of the love and the peace of God through that hand. That's what I want us to focus on. And I want us to know, oh God, that it's a new day. It's a new day in this organization. It's a new day that this organization is no longer an organization, but it is the true body of Christ. I want us to know that we connect and we send the unity of the bond of peace through every individual in this room. I want us to know today, oh God, we thank you for your grace and your abundant grace. And I want the Holy Spirit to rain down and assure us that it's okay to grab a hand. That it's okay to know that it's only the hand of a child of God that we grab. I want us to know today that we must go beyond it. I'm a gay person and I don't care for transgenders and we don't like. I want us to get beyond that today.
Yes.
And to know that it is through this unity and through this bond that we pray and we fight for the rights of the liberties that Christ died for.
Yes.
For us all.
Yes.
And as we connect, oh God, we know that it is through prayer and seeking your kingdom that righteousness surely follows. And all these things we will be provided. I ask one thing. One thing. That everyone in this room on August 3rd, send a prayer up for the state of Michigan in the elections. I ask that everyone in this room remember to pray for me. Because it really doesn't matter to me now. My liberty in Christ as a lesbian woman is my right to have. And I must go forward abandoning all things for the right to be and the right to speak and the right to have and the right to possess. So know that we are connected. And let connection mean something different. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.